The message that I have for today is live brave. Okay? And that's the thing that I want you to take away. It says in the Bible, in Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you might prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So one of the things that's really good for us to do is to sometimes challenge our thinking. It's important. Like if we're fixed, my kids come home all the time, and both at primary school and at high school, college, they talk about these things called fixed mindsets and growth mindsets. Okay? So fixed mindsets are basically your position is set, there's absolutely no way that you're going to change it. Like, done is done, it's locked in, lock it in. It's like the How to Be a Millionaire, lock it in things. Whereas a growth mindset is actually being able and aware and able to have a think about something from a different point of view. That means that it might actually challenge your thinking. Okay? Not that you necessarily might agree with everything that someone says, and I sure hope that you don't agree 100% with anything I ever say, because 10% of it's probably wrong, because I'm human, all right? Probably 20%. I have 20, Shannon would say 30%, all right? But when we talk about bravery, quite often what we talk about is we talk about a complete lack of fear. We talk about the fact that if you're brave, that means that you've got no fear at all. Like, no fear. We used to have these cool t-shirts. They were, like, the coolest. They were up there with Adidas three-stripe trackies and stirrup pants and all of that stuff. And it was no fear t-shirts. And it would have these kind of things where basically no fear. It's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog. It would be these kind of really nice sort of, all right, I'm ready to take on the world now. And the dictionary definition, brave says to show courage, okay? To show courage. And courage is the quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulty, danger, pain without fear. Or, like, I kind of adapted it because I'm a dictionary writer, so I can do that. No. But without the effects of fear, acting brave. It comes from the root word, it means to take heart. Okay, to have a heart, or to have a heart full of bravery. Okay, so the question that I have for you today, just as we start, is what heart are you listening to? Or what is your heart filled with? I'm an English teacher, so Shakespeare is pretty cool for me. One of the things that was like a really good sort of insult was to call someone white-hearted. In fact, to call someone white anything, like lily livered, like anything that had whiteness to it. Okay, now we associate it with innocence and purity and all of that stuff, and they did that as well. But quite often it was a like almost cowardice, you lily livered fob. Like it was, you wouldn't know what half of the words meant, but that was okay. But the thing is, and the thing that I've begun to realize is that being brave isn't the same as being fearless. It's not the same. Okay, I read a blog post, so, I mean, my sources, I mean, that's almost like looking up Wikipedia and going, well, there has to be the truth, you know? But I read a blog this week, and it was a lady that worked with kids that had been in potentially unsafe relationships and had things that had happened to them that no child should go through. And one of the things that she says is we talk to kids about being inside strong. We defined it as being brave or asking for help or saying no even when you feel scared. See, there's a difference between courage and fearlessness. It doesn't take much courage to do the things you're not scared of in the first place. So if I'm not scared of spiders, if I kill a spider, A, anyone that's got an interest in heart for animals is probably going to not like that. B, Shannon, who's deathly afraid of spiders, is going to look at me and go, man, what a brave person. But to me, it required no courage at all. Ooh, it's icky. Kill it, kill it, kill it. That's not bravery. That's self-preservation. Those things are going to get you. See, the thing is, it doesn't take much courage to, like, doing things you're not afraid of takes no courage. Courage comes when you step forward and do what you know must be done or should be done, even though you're scared, even though it's unpopular, even though you know that there could be consequences. It's doing it in spite of that. See, the thing is that what makes this tricky is that fear is there for a reason. Like, there's certain types of fear that are actually quite healthy for you. It's a survival response. It's fear of the fire is a good thing to instill into a 2 or 3 year old. You want that fear of the fire. You want them to not be able to not touch the fire. Like, that's actually a good thing. It's a survival response. Oh, it's hot. Like, they do that once. They learn that fear, and it's actually it's a good boundary to have. See, if you had no fear, you'd do a lot of stupid, dangerous things, and you probably wouldn't survive for long unless you were a superhero. Right? But sometimes fear stops you when it shouldn't. There's certain types of fears that we have that actually stop us from doing the things that we're supposed to do. So how do you know when to listen to your fear and when you should act in spite of your fear? I wanted to show you just a really great example of fearlessness. So there's this thing, okay? It's called urban exploring. And there's this one type of urban explorer that basically tries to find the highest possible point that they can find and then just do really stupid things on it. Now, if you have a fear of heights, now would be a good time maybe to look away. But basically what they do is they might find 40-story buildings, 80-story buildings. Abu Dhabi is very, very popular for this kind of thing because there's some very, very tall buildings there. I just wanted to show you what fearlessness looks like, okay? Children in the room, that's not a how-to guide. Mum, Dad, guess what I learned at church today? No, you didn't. You did not learn that. I think actually taking it next level is when you see those balance boards, because there's so many YouTube videos of people like just completely eating concrete, like falling over. Like there's like whole compilations of them, and here he is sitting on the top of a huge whatever it is. I don't know what it is. Charlie was watching me prepare the other day, and she saw that and she got, oh my, I feel sick, Dad, just looking at it. See, the thing is, and I guess the point that I'm trying to get across is that fearlessness is not the same as bravery. Okay, that's fearlessness, but that's also stupidity. Do you know what I mean? And there's so many of us in this world that live our lives trying to get as close to the edge as we can. Look, I didn't know that was going to happen. Every other time I've got to the edge and almost fallen over, it hasn't happened. See, the thing is that that's where It's good to have a good instinct, and it's good to have a good survival instinct. We need to know the difference between what's good fear in our lives, what's good boundaries in our life, and what's negative fear in our life, negative boundaries, what's stopping us from being the person that we can be. See, what we believe shows in our words and our actions. So what we believe on the inside spills out into the outside. Okay? So the thing is that when it comes to it, this other part of our brains comes in, the part that acts on more than instinct, the parts that we take in and analyse all the information plus our own experience, weigh up the possible consequences. We weigh up, man, if I do this, what's the consequence going to be? And seek to make the choice that we believe to be right based on our values. And so depending on what your beliefs are and what your values are will depend on how you react in a certain situation. What fears that you carry will determine your response. Okay? So, the way that we think, the way that we speak, what our actions are, it shapes our world in the way that we see it. All right? So for us, as a heartbeat, like, it's quite interesting because there's two quite controversial things about our name. One is the fact that we've called ourselves Church Untamed, which sounds like we're, I don't know, some sort of naturalist colony. You know? Just come on in, whatever you do is going to be fine. That's not the case at all. See, we can either take on the yoke of the world, or we can take on the yoke that God's given us. And it says, my burden is easy and my yoke is light. The way that we're supposed to live is supposed to be easy to do. So when we say untamed, it's basically, you know, we're living in a way that God wants us to live. Not burdened down by our own stuff, just the boundaries that God's put in place for us. When it comes to live brave, it's not that case of being the fearless berserker warrior going out into the world sounding all crazy. You should come to church. That's probably not going to be the best way to engage a hurt and dying world. Just putting it out there, that maybe won't make necessarily the best first impression. Okay? But for our heartbeat, to live brave, failure should never be fatal. If we fail, it's not the end.
That's right.
See, we have a heart to see people step out and take risks. We want to see them boldly step into the fullness of life God has for them and to live life brave. So remember, when Jesus was tempted in the desert by the devil, one of the things that he asked him, one of the things that the devil asked Jesus to do was jump off this rock. Jump off this hill, you'll be fine. Is that true? Well, maybe. But actually, that's not bravery at all. There's boundaries that were put in our lives that mean that that keep us safe, that keep us protected. So instead, if we're wanting to live life brave, the verse that I have for today, and I guess it's probably based on Joshua, okay? Well, not I guess. I know it's based on Joshua. I've prepared the message, so it's based on Joshua. Is Joshua 1:9. And this is the command that God gives Joshua time and time and time again, which is really interesting, and I'll tell you why it's interesting in a minute. So it says, this is my command. See, if God tells you to do something, you better jolly well do it. If it's a command, there's no ifs or buts about it. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Okay, there was God, one of God's first words to Joshua, one of the first recorded words to Joshua in the Bible. The really interesting thing is that that's not actually even Joshua's command. That wasn't a command for Joshua. God said that to Moses multiple times as well. Be bold and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Okay, and if you have a look through, if you have a look through the rest of the passages, Moses gets that all the time. So if Moses gets it, he gets this command, and Joshua gets this command, that's two generations. It's probably pretty well established that it's probably a command for us as well. All right? See, the thing that you have to understand is that discouragement is faith in the wrong outcome. So if you're feeling discouraged, if you think that something can't happen, you've basically put your faith in the wrong thing. It means that whatever you've put your faith in is larger than the faith that you've put in God. All right? So you're backing the wrong horse. I don't know if you've ever tried to pick something else other than God's way before. But eventually we come around, don't we? It's like, wow, what a mess. I can't believe how badly I messed that up, God. So we see bravery in the life of Joshua. See, the thing that you have to understand is that in this command, this is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. There's some really important parts in there. See, Joshua was just told to do what Moses was told to do. Moses' promises were like the starting point for the next generation, which is pretty awesome. Like, that's cool. You imagine that for us. So we're still alive, so we're part of this generation. What come before, their highest point is our starting point.
Yes, good.
Their ceiling is our floor. That's, you know, we stand on the shoulders of giants. That's a really good promise for us to take a hold of. So if we're going to look at Joshua, we need to look at the way that he thinks. So even before he's given this command, he's already living a life which is brave. He's already living a life where he's been courageous in the past. One of the reasons that he was the general that took the Israelites into the promised land was because he already had a proven track record. Okay, he was already doing the business. All right. So in order to live brave, we have to look brave. Now, that doesn't mean be tough looking. You know, there's a few of us in the room, so like myself, Cam, Jason, Nico. I mean, there's a few of us in the room that we could look tough. I mean, as soon as I speak for longer than 10 seconds, my toughness all fades away and everyone realizes that I'm just marshmallowy goodness, but that's okay. Not the best quality to have in the school environment. Hey guys, how's it going? Oh, I mean, line up! The illusion is already broken, yeah. But it's not a case of just looking brave or just being brave on the outside. What I mean is look brave. See in a brave way. See in a perspective which is brave. See, brave people see. I need to stop saying see. Brave people see differently. They look at situations in a different way. I've heard it tons of times in a ton of different sermons, but what you focus on gets bigger in your life. Okay, so depending on what you look at, it gets bigger in your life. My wife's a photographer. What she chooses to focus on gets put into the foreground of the photo. It becomes everything that you see, and everything else becomes quite blurry sometimes. I don't understand it, but that's as good as I can explain it. Shannon will explain focus another time in a really great way. See, the thing is that you got to remember that before Joshua was put in charge, Moses had already sent him out as part of the 12 spies. He was already well-respected. And so you had the 12 spies. And so there were the 10 spies that came back and gave one report, and then there were the 2 spies that came back and gave the same report, just in a different way. It was actually the same report. But what they saw and what they focused on was different. And we'll just go into that. So Caleb and Joshua saw differently to the other spies. They saw with courage, not looking to the giants, but to the opportunity. So if you're following along in your Bibles, Numbers 13 and 14 is where this story takes place. All right, we're not going to get into it too much, and it's a great story. It's so good. The thing preaches itself. So when they come back, they go into Canaan, they see the same thing, like physically they see the same things, but when they come back, their report is different. So the spies, so Numbers 13, verse 27, so they come back, and this is the word that they bring back. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us, it truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit." So they come back and they've got all this. There's the good report. Okay? And then they go into nevertheless. Who's ever been tripped up by their neverthelesses before? This is a really good opportunity. But. Have you ever noticed that sometimes our buts are bigger than God's buts? It's also a really clever play on words. And it's, anyway. But our butt is often bigger than God's butt. But God, we can't. Yeah. Oh, he's just laughing now. Thanks, buddy. "Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw all of these different people here." And then Caleb says, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." So Caleb's saying, there's all those things, but we can overcome it. Now, this is where we where they see differently. Check it out. The men had gone up with them, so the 10 spies, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. How do you know? Did you have arm wrestling competitions? Did you play pinochle? Did you spar with them? Or did they just look tough? And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants." Wait a minute, they were just saying that the people that lived in the land were big and tough and strong. That doesn't sound like a land that eats their inhabitants. "And all the people who we saw in it are men of great stature." Have you ever gone up against someone that's like high in status and like as a result of that you pull back your own ideas, your own thoughts, you think that your thoughts are actually lower than...
Yep.
Anyway, it's just an aside. "There we saw the giants and we were like..." And this is the key. "And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." So they saw themselves as small and insignificant, and so they saw the giants in the land and said that they couldn't take them. Caleb comes at it from a different way. So Caleb and Joshua... Anyway, it gets worse from there. I'm not going to focus on it. They're just basically going, let's go back into slavery. Slavery sounds good at this point in time. "But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who are among those who had spied out their land, tore their clothes." So they're hacked off. And this is what they said. "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land." I don't know about you, but I come to Cromwell and I've heard all kinds of things about Cromwell. I've heard that some really great stuff, and I've heard some stuff that's like not always so great. One of the things that I've heard is it's like a pastor's graveyard. I'm not planning on dying anytime soon, so I don't know what that means. No, there's giants in the land, it's a dry land, there's all kinds of stuff that I've heard. But actually, it doesn't matter what the size of the giants that we face are, it's the size of who's with us.
Yes, right.
That's important. And so they tore their clothes out of frustration. So again, that's not dress code. Please don't come to church next week with your clothes torn. We'll give you a blanket or something. We'll take the blankets off the walls and go, man, you look really cold. They spoke out to all the congregation of the children of Israel. Now that is a big, two versus everyone else is quite a big minority. It's a tiny minority. Big minority is an oxymoron. "The land we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey." It's the same report. "Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Well, what's the difference? They saw differently. They realized that God was with them. They realized that God wanted them to have the land. So we need to look brave. Okay? What situations have you got in your own life at the moment where you've looked at them and perhaps you've given a bad report? Oh my goodness, I can't do this because, and here's all the reasons. I've said, this is the person that I'm going up against and they're much higher in stature than me. I see them as much higher and I'm a grasshopper in my own sight, and so they must see me that way as well. It's interesting, it's all about perspective, it's all about the way that we see it. So whatever you focus on gets bigger in your life. There's that old song, you know, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full on his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his... That's why I'm not going to be worship leading. I can't remember the songs, even though it's a song I've known for, you know. So that's... So the spies... So they're stronger than us. The land devours those that lives in it. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look like the same to them. See, but the Caleb and Joshua, it was nothing about comparison between us versus them. It was who they were and who God had called them to be and what they'd called them to do. So this is the thing, is that not only do you have to look brave, not only do you have to see with not just your own eyes, but this perspective that God's given you, you need to be able to speak brave. You might see things differently to other people, but if you never speak up, well, that's not a courageous conversation. That conversation that you've held to yourself is potentially one that someone's needed to hear, if for no other reason, to challenge something that they might believe. It could be a mistruth. It could be a complete lie. They could have based their entire lives around the way that they see themselves in a particular way. So the thing that I wrote down for it, see, Caleb and Joshua had the courage to speak up, even when they knew it was going to be unpopular. They had the courageous conversations. Danny Silk talks about having courageous conversations when he talks about loving on purpose. So when you love someone, you'll have conversations with them that might not necessarily be, might be the truth spoken in love. It might not necessarily be something that they'll be able to receive well initially, but it could be something that could actually change their perspective in the long run. You need to be able to have those courageous conversations. You've got a voice and you've got words to speak, and you need to speak them. And it's okay to speak them. So you need to engage in courageous conversations with God and with others. See, the thing is that Caleb and Joshua spoke up. Even though the Israelites didn't speak them, the consequence of them not listening to Caleb and Joshua is they never got to see the promised land. The thing that they set out for, they never reached. Okay? Does that mean that Joshua and Caleb should have just been quiet? Well, no, absolutely not. I think it's important that they had those conversations. See, the thing is, if they hadn't spoken up, I think that the entire generation would have had to die before they found the promised land. See, in order to spy out the land, they were already on the border of it. It was just a case of going in and possessing it. It wasn't a case that the Israelites were lost in the desert for 40 years. Apparently, the desert was enough to walk across in a number of days. That was where they chose to camp and where they chose to live for that time. And even initially, they just wanted to go back into slavery in Egypt. Oh, slavery sounds pretty good right about now. Let's just put on all the old stuff and go back to our old lives. See, we need to have courageous conversations. We need to engage in courageous conversations with God. Have you ever not said something to God that you probably should have? You've kept it to yourself because you think that he doesn't know? Oh, no, God, I'm not going to show you this tiny little corner of my heart because you wouldn't find it very pleasant. He already knows.
Yeah, that's right.
He fully knows you. He fully accepts you. But that means that there's sometimes the stuff that you need to work on in your life because he doesn't want to keep you with the stuff that you're currently carrying. So you need to engage in courageous conversations with God, with others, and with yourself. Now, I don't know about you, but I've got to be careful what I think about myself. I'm encouraging to other people. I'll try as much as I can to lift people up. But when it comes to my own life, man, I'm harsh on myself. I am my own worst critic. If I'm not careful, after we, go from here today, I'll go over all of the different things that we've gone over. It's like, oh my goodness, I messed that up and I messed that up and I messed that up and I messed that up. And suddenly I'm reducing my own, the way that I see. See, when you talk to yourself, you don't want to talk to yourself using your own words. Use the word of God. Because it's way more powerful. Use the words that God speaks over your life. I once had this conversation with Mum and Dad, and it was a courageous conversation for them. It was probably one of the most honest conversations, but it was a bit of a miscommunication. So I didn't really go out on a Friday or Saturday night. I just didn't. I like playing computer games and reading and watching movies and stuff like that. Anyway, Mum and Dad noticed that I didn't go out on Friday and Saturday night. So they are bogans from way back. So, Friday and Saturday night, that was just part of their lifestyle. You'd go out drinking. I'm not going to go into the rules that my mum and dad had in my life, or lack of rules. It's not uplifting for you guys at all. But they had this courageous conversation with me that went like this. Hey, Ray, we've noticed that you don't go out on Friday and Saturday nights. Now, son, you know we love you. And we noticed that you've never really had a girlfriend. And so we love you, and whatever you decide is really up to you. But if on the off chance you're gay, just know that we love you. And it wasn't that. I just really enjoyed the game I was playing on my computer at the time. But as a result of that conversation, we were actually able to have some really good conversations about what I believed. Like I was a Christian kid, I was a Christian kid growing up in a non-Christian family, so everything that I did was strange to my parents. Everything, it looked strange, it was strange. Praying in my room looked like going mental, you know. What the? Son, what are you doing? Who are you talking to? See, so here's my question then. Where do you put your faith? And where do you put your fear? See, one of the things that I think is quite often we do it the wrong way around. We give God our faith and we give the world our fear.
Yeah, it's good.
When actually as Christians we should be doing it the other way around. We need to give the world our faith and we need to give God our fear. See, the thing is that Moses was a fear-filled guy. He was insecure. There was all kinds of stuff about him. But he was at least courageous enough to engage with God about that. When Moses had his burning bush experience, Moses was all about the I can't. He was all about the I can't do it because of this. I can't do it because of that. I can't do it because, you know, I can't speak. I can't act. I can't do anything like that. And so engaging with God, Moses goes, I can't. And God's able to reply with, I can. You can.
That's right.
You can because I can.
That's right. That's good.
Okay? So this is the thing. I think I might, I'll probably finish here. This is the thing. Is that it's healthy to have a fear of the Lord. And it talks about having a good fear of the Lord. It says in Proverbs 1:7, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, which is a weird thing to talk about if I'm preaching about bravery. But hear me for a second. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What that means is that you place God higher than your own fears. You've got a fear of the Lord. You've got a fear of the Lord. It's not fear of consequence or punishment. It's not fear. It's fear of disappointing the one who put his faith in us. It's following the Lord's commandments, living the best life, and it removes all need for fear. Okay? 1 John 14:17 and 18 says, this is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. See, if we know God and we fear God, there's nothing else in the world to fear. And the more that we know God, that fear becomes reverence. There's nothing else to worry about other than pleasing God. See, our fear of God has to be greater than the fear of the world. It has to be greater than our fear of failure. It has to be greater than our fear of disappointment. It has to be greater than our fear of missing out. FOMO. Hashtag YOLO. Okay? See, whatever you fear most in this world, the fear of blank, so just put blank, whatever that is. If that's the thing that you fear most in the world and you've not done something as a result of that, that means that you're actually putting that in a higher position than what the plan that God has on your life. Now, if that's the case, if your fear of something is higher than, you know, your desire to please God, well, when you put something above God, what's that called? It's called an idol. It's something that you're bowing down to. Now, bowing down doesn't necessarily mean worship. It means, I've bowed down to fear rather than stepping out into all that God has for me. So you've put it in a position of honor and reverence that you should put God as the highest. You've replaced God with whatever that is. See, I think sometimes we get it backwards. We engage God with faith, the world with fear, and it should be the other way around. See, the last thing is that we need to stand brave and live brave. See, Joshua and Caleb went against the popular belief and the rest of their generation. And as a result, they were actually the fulfillment of the promise of their generation. It was them that led the Israelites out of slavery. They were the last of that generation. So we need to not worry about the fear of consequence. What's the worst that people can do to us? Now that doesn't mean engaging in awful conversations. What that means is that being able to speak up and being able to put out your point of view in a way that loves the other person, in a way that speaks truth to them, in a way that gives them a choice. They can either accept what you have to say or not. I think probably more than anything else, it's just keeping the conversation open that's important. You don't have to win an argument. You just need to start conversations. That's all evangelism is. Evangelism is very rarely winning an argument. There's probably very few people in this room at the moment that are here because on one particular day, one really aggressive Christian won the argument. There's a pretty good chance that you're in the room today because on one day, you had an encounter with someone, whether it was God or a Christian or an event or whatever, that made him real to you.
That's good.
That your heart became engaged to his. That you invited him into your life. Now that could have been at home. You could have been, if you've grown up in a Christian environment, you might not even remember the time that you gave your heart to the Lord because it was just something that was always there, which is awesome. That's not my story, but that's so great that if that's yours. See, so whenever you're ready, we need to make sure that we take the risk to clash with culture and expression. Okay? Bravery stands in spite of fear. It's the greater reality. Okay? We might have moments of doubt, moments of insecurity, but when we're insecure, if we engage our heart with God, our insecurity becomes an entry point to where God can work within us. Or my friend Ben Greenwood puts it this way, insecurities don't rule you out. Rather, they provide an entry point for the strength of God to make you strong. So share your insecurities with God. Quite often we share our insecurities with the world, and with God, we say that we've got it all together. Oh no, I'm good. Don't need prayer today. Thanks so much. I'm good. I'm good. Everything's fine. Everything's great. I'm good. I'm good. No, I'm good. I'm fine. I'm good. See, the thing is when we partner with God and when we learn to no longer have a fear of consequence, we learn to say yes to God, it makes it a habit and it makes it an instinct so that when we go to step out in God, our faith instinct kicks in. So we get asked to God asks us to do something rather than, no, I can't, and here's the reasons why. If we begin to make a habit of saying yes to God rather than our survival instinct kicking in, and we only need survival instinct if there's no one else there to protect us, then our faith instinct or our God instinct kicks in. Cam, I reckon those heaters have gone off. Hey, it's cold in here. So we don't do things in our own strength. We come together in such a way that we move together. With God, it's a partnership, it's a symbiosis. God just doesn't take over our body and suddenly we're this kind of puppet and he's moving the strings. There's a partnership that takes place. It's God with us, it's God alongside us, which is awesome. How great is that as Christians we get to partner the finite with the infinite? It's amazing. So Habakkuk 3:19 says, "The Lord God is my strength, my bravery. He'll walk me through places of trouble and suffering." How great is that? How great is it that as a result of a God who loves us, who cares for us, that who protects us, we don't need to have that survival instinct. There's fears that we might have in our life that as a result of just even thinking about it today, you might not need those anymore because they're just protective barriers. See, we're called to look after the widow, the orphan, the alien. We're called to stand up for those who can't stand up for themselves. More than fear of reputation, Jesus hung out with a whole lot of people that would make him unpopular by association just by hanging out with them. I think we need to do the same. So just as we finish off, I just wanted to give like one worldly example. Nelson Mandela spent how many years in prison? It was decades. 27, was it, darling? Okay. Did you do something on Nelson Mandela? Okay. 27 years in prison. As a result of that, you would think that the man that came out the other side would be, he'd be the grasshopper. 27 years being told that the way that he saw, the way that he acted was inappropriate and not okay. But when he come out, this is one of the things that's in his biography. He looked brave. He looked at not what is, but what could be. He come out speaking vision. He spoke brave. He had those courageous conversations, not just conversations about you did this and you did that and this is the crime, but conversations that actually spoke to redemption, spoke to connection, spoke to bringing people together. And he stood brave. He became a symbol of hope for a generation. And this is what he said. "I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear. From my point of view, sometimes being brave is being holding your nerve 20 seconds longer than the other person. Now, that doesn't mean everyone go home and have arguments with people. What I'm saying is it's time to start courageous conversations. It's time to start speaking up. It's okay to share your faith. It's okay to step out if God's told you to step out in a particular way. It's okay to question whether the fears that you have are good fears, are rational fears, are to help to provide boundaries in your life, or it's actually something that's stopping you from doing what God's called you to do. So whatever you do, what you focus on gets bigger in your life. You can bow down to the mountain of joy or to the mountain of fear. We want you to live brave. We want you to look brave. We want you to speak brave. We want you to stand brave. And so it says in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, and I'll leave with this thought. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, God has not given us a spirit of fear. We weren't born with fear. But he's given us a spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. So the next time that you feel fear and you know that it's irrational, you've got to know and you've got to take this on board is that you have the tools to overcome it. You have a spirit of power, you have a spirit of love, and God's given you a sound mind. So I'm going to pray for you guys. We're going to just put a song on. If you want us to pray for you today, if you want us to pray for you individually today, we'd love to pray for you. We'd love to lay hands on you, prophesy for you if you want prophecy. But coffee and tea is going to be on. But just before that, I'd love to pray a blessing over you guys. Lord, I just thank you so much for this this courageous group of people. I thank you for who you've called them to be. I thank you that you've called them not to live in a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. I thank you that you've called them to live life brave. I thank you that you've called them to speak brave. I thank you that you've called them to look in a particular way that changes their perspective, Lord. Now, Lord, where there's fear and unfounded fear today, Lord, it says in your word to cast our cares upon you. That means to separate it from us as the east is from the east, to throw it out. Lord, we lay down our fears today. And in its place, we know that there's an exchange that takes place. We know that in its place, you haven't given us a spirit of fear. You've given us a spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. So we just thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen.